It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders for Tuesday, July 5th. The Yankees take on the Pirates Interleague Series in Pittsburgh, Tuesday and Wednesday nights. And before Tuesday's game, there will be a ceremony. I believe it's a ceremony. It's definitely a bobblehead, but there's a ceremony to honor Bill Mazeroski, hero of the 1960 World Series when the Pirates beat the Yankees in seven games. A Bill Mazeroski bobblehead for fans on Tuesday night. And joining me is a scout for the Pirates who happens to share the same last name. Darren Mazeroski is a scout for the Pittsburgh Pirates, the son of Bill Mazeroski, Hall of Famer, and Pittsburgh Pirates great. And there's the Yankees connection I'll get into in a minute. But Darren, what's it like for you? I know you can't be there, and I'm sure it saddens you to not be there, but what's it like for you to know that this is an event that's happening tonight, honoring your father in the events of the 1960 World Series?
I mean, it's just nice that this, you know, something that long ago is still remembered so fondly in the area. And, you know, it's just one of those things that is just really held on through the years, that it's still remembered as one of the top moments in Pittsburgh sports history and maybe baseball history. So it's still pretty fun after all this time.
I had a chance once in 1992 to interview your dad in State College, Pennsylvania. And I remember asking him some questions about the home run. And I remember walking away from it after the fact thinking, boy, he's probably had to answer the exact same dumb questions that I asked him like about 5 million times in his life. Yep. What have you taken away from like hearing your dad talk about it, or the interviews that he's done with it, and the fact that these are the things, it's really the same two or three questions that people ask him all the time?
It is, but I mean, it's, you know, the way he looks at it and always has, it's the, when you think about it, it's just something that is kind of a big event, and everybody that asks him about it genuinely is curious to know. They don't know, and it's a big deal. So he's just taken it as in stride. You know, he's never gotten tired of it. It's just something that he answers and takes everybody's requests and all that, because they legitimately want to know, because it's such a unique experience that he appreciates the fact that they're curious about it and answers them each time.
All right, so here's the fun part to me. You were born in 1963. 62, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So you have no memory of this, obviously. When did you first start to become aware of your dad's place in history? And what were some of the questions you had? How did you start to really learn about this?
I guess probably through elementary school, you know, when we're, you know, 8, 9, 10 years out from the event, to where people would bring it up and it was a lot fresher in everybody's memory, of course. But, you know, it was always people like asking, what's it like? And like everybody, you know, it's just their father that has a job and that's what he does. So it really didn't seem at the time to be anything different or unique. But, you know, the older you get and you look back and you realize, hey, that was probably pretty a little bit cooler than I realized it was at the time, but that's just kind of what he did. And it was very, really normal at that time.
All right. So listen, you were a professional baseball player, a college coach, and a scout for many years here. So what are some of the things you've asked your dad about the kind of the inside baseball thing, about the series, about the home run? What are some of the things that you were interested to learn from him?
Well, I honestly, it's something that we really didn't talk about a whole lot. It's just something that happened. And, you know, he still had a whole career to play after that too. So, you know, that happened in 60. He played for what, 13, 14 more years. So yeah, it was one moment, but it's just the day-to-day part of being a professional baseball player and just being out there. So it's not, you know, there's a lot more to it than just one hit that happened, you know, 50 some years ago. So it really, the one moment didn't come up all the time. It was just more the whole body of work and just being there every day and learning, you know, just how to go about your business in that fashion, what it takes to prepare every day.
Yeah, I mean, you, and when you say it that way, the idea of being a Hall of Famer too, and the longevity of a career that has to come with that, preparing every day. What are some of the things that you learned from him about the idea of preparing every day to play?
Probably the biggest thing was just eliminate the highs and lows. You know, you're going to fail. You're going to be good. You're going to have good times, good streaks and bad streaks, but can't ride either one too much or you'll drive yourself crazy. So just kind of keeping the even keel and approaching everything in the same way and not get too caught up in any direction. That was probably the biggest thing that he preached and stressed and that stuck with me.
You know, it's funny to hear that because he experienced the highest high you can in Major League Baseball, right? A game-winning, series-winning home run. Yet the idea stuck to him that you can't get too high or live off of that too much. I'm sure in the moment it was amazing, but putting it behind you quickly, is that pretty much what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that was it. That was great that happened. But, you know, like I said, you still had 14 more years to play. So you can't survive on one moment for that long at that level. So it's just a lot more to it than just one big splashy event.
All right. As a guy who's been an amateur scout for the Pittsburgh Pirates for over a dozen years now, one of the guys that you signed for the Pirates is Clay Holmes. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what it's like for you to watch his success, especially in the last 11 months or so at the big league level.
It's fun to watch. I mean, it's just unfortunate. He just had some bad luck. You know, he got hit by the line drive on the ankle in spring training when he was doing really well with us and he got hurt, and just to see him succeed, you know, and because he's such a good, humble guy. And from where he's from and his great family and all that, just to see him have success at the major league level and being able to sustain it, it's just really cool for him and the family.
The Pirates drafted Clay in 2011, ninth round out of high school in Alabama. What were some of the things that you saw from him then or at an early age through his minor league career that you still see now?
The size. I mean, he was always big and athletic at the time. He was pretty, you know, he was a good high school basketball player for the area where he was from, and just a big, strong kid that's drew the size and the strength. And you just thought that he could keep getting better thanks to the size, strength, and athleticism. And that's been it. He's just taken the opportunity and run with it.
His sinker is such an amazing pitch to watch now, and it's paired with a pretty good slider too. What do you remember about the roots of that pitch and how you've seen that develop?
Well, I mean, he was just a big high school kid with a strong arm and a curveball that was pretty good. So, you know, I don't know anybody saw all of this coming. Honestly, this is just one of those great development stories. He just got into pro ball and kept getting better, but it just goes back to basics. It's just lucky with a big kid who was strong and athletic and had the chance to have some stuff. And he's taken every opportunity he's had at every level with every club and run with it.
You talked about some of the bad luck. I mean, is there any lament to the fact that this didn't happen? I mean, he's 29. Is there any lament the fact that this didn't happen earlier in his career and you didn't see the full fruits of this in the organization that you're with the Pirates?
I'm just glad he's got the chance. I mean, I'm just lucky enough to have him drafted. Whatever happens after that, it's kind of out of your control, but sure. I'm just glad he's having success.
I know enough amateur scouts to know how you guys keep score. If a guy spends one day in the big leagues or 20 years in the big leagues, he's a big leaguer. So when you get a guy who's going to be named to the All-Star team, and you know, you had the same thing with Adam Frazier last year. I mean, what does it feel like for you for a guy who, when you saw these guys at the stage that you saw them in and know that they were able to push forward past all the obstacles to end up becoming a big league all-star caliber player? What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's nice. It feels really good. But I think the biggest thing that people don't realize is it's more than one voice and one guy that gets to let this process play out to where it has for some of these guys. You know, it's a whole room full of people and a consensus and all that. It's not just one person saying, yes, this guy is going to be an all-star. He's going to be a major leaguer. Just my voice is a very small part of it. It's a much bigger picture, but it is nice to see. But that's balanced out by the fact that how many guys you're wrong on and you miss on and just don't pan out for whatever reason too. So when you get a little success story, it's nice because there's so many that just obviously don't quite work out how you think they will.
So what's the road been like for the amateur scout when you have a couple of guys in your back pocket who've made the big leagues, but you're still out there kind of beating the bushes looking for the next group? What's the what's the daily grind like for you right now?
I mean, well, right now we're still trying to get ready for the draft in 10 days, along with getting the class of 2023 put together and getting that identified and kind of laid out a little bit too. So you're juggling two drafts, but if you get a chance to sign somebody, you're just trying to go out and try and find somebody better to replace them, basically. Just keep looking for talent.
All right. So I know there's going to be some pride when you watch there's going to be a lot of mentions of Bill Mazeroski during this 2-game series. And there's a chance that Clay Holmes is going to come in and maybe close out the Pirates in one of these games. Are you prepared to balance those two feelings?
I don't know. We'll see what happens when I get in and watch the game on MLB Network tonight here. Just see what direction it goes.
Well, Darren, listen, there's a lot to be proud of for you and your career and obviously your family's career. Thanks for giving me a couple of minutes today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for your time, Sweeney.
That's Darren Mazeroski, a scout in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. That famous last name you know from your history books, 1960 World Series, Pirates beat the Yankees in 7 games. Oh, you know what? I actually need to tell you, if you know this little piece of history, are you aware that one of the pitchers of the Yankees organization is J.P. Sears? He's won 3 games this year. Clay has saved all 3 of his games. J.P. is from Sumter, South Carolina, the home of Bobby Richardson, who was the MVP of the 1960 World Series. There's always that little I love that connection. Were you aware of that?
I was not, but that's the way baseball goes. There are connections that people wouldn't even dream of, that when you dig hard enough, you're going to find something funny.
That's fantastic. Thank you again for the time here. This has been WFAN's Baseball Insiders. Make sure to subscribe and review and all that jazz. And also make sure to check out the 30 with Murty podcast on these platforms as well. I'm Sweeney Murty for Darren Mazeroski. Thanks for listening.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.